coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
The first thing we did when we heard the news was we heard that they needed blood. So we rushed to the blood bank in Zahle because we couldn't go down to Beirut at that moment. The blast happened at around 6:04, and at 6:15 on that Tuesday, I think almost half of Zahle's population, the city I live in, was standing outside the blood bank donating blood for injured victims in Beirut.
Morning, friends. Thanks for joining us today on Compassion Radio. I assume most of you are enjoying the fall weather and looking forward to things cooling off. This year seems like a season that's struggling to move forward in a world that feels pretty stuck. Well, whatever the world threw at you in 2020, the Lord was ready with a solid response. After all, He's been here long before we arrived. The Lord certainly knew what we'd face, and He was prepared to walk us through it. Last month, Sandy caught up with friends of Compassion Radio in Lebanon to get a first-hand report of the devastating port explosion and the aftermath. Because the church in Lebanon ran straight into the center of the need, we decided to make it our Compassion Radio project. The window for action on this particular need closes at the end of this month, so I wanted to revisit the story one more time before we move on. It is a wonderful story of real compassion and brave faith, which to me makes it a serious good news adventure. Frankly, we could use a lot of good news in our lives right now, don't you think? So, be reminded today of how your Christian cousins are living out their faith and how Jesus keeps showing up. Then, jump in as you can to help them. Here's Sandy to kick things off.
Today on Compassion Radio, we welcome two very special women, Trevina Cassis of Together for the Families, based in Lebanon, and Belinda Bauman of 1 Million Thumbprints, that's based here in the U.S. And I just want to do a little history for our listeners. You will remember a few years ago, I traveled with Belinda, along with our daughters, Dempsey and Lyric, to Lebanon to meet with some Syrian refugee women and their children and to get to know them and to hear their courageous stories of how they got to Lebanon and the things that brought them there from the war in Syria. And we met there a very amazing woman named Iztihar Cassis. And she began this ministry years ago called Together for the Families to support these families from Syria, these refugees, and help them establish themselves in Lebanon. And her daughter, Trevina, is now a huge part of this ministry. And Trevina has a very courageous and amazing story to tell about what happened on Tuesday, August the 4th, when a massive explosion just devastated the city of Beirut. So Trevina, Belinda, welcome to Compassion Radio. We are so thrilled to have you both on the program today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much, Sandy. It's good to hear your voice, sister.
Thank you. Yours too. Trevina, I just want you to start by walking us through the timeline of what happened on August the 4th.
So on August the 4th, which was a Tuesday, I think like everyone else in Lebanon, I woke up normally, got in my car and went to my training at the hospital that I am doing. I got to the hospital at 8 a.m. and I miraculously finished early that day. So I didn't have any more work to do and I was done at 1 p.m. I had all my stuff with me. I had decided to stay in Beirut that night in my apartment in Ashrafieh. I called a couple of friends here in Zahle, which is a village an hour and a half away from Beirut where I work. And I called a couple of friends here and I said, you know, what are we doing tonight? Let's go out. I'm going to come home. I'm not going to stay all alone in Beirut tonight. There is no point in staying here alone. So I got in my car, left my stuff in my car and said, you know, I will come back on Wednesday morning. I'll stay here till Friday. There's no point sleeping here today. I got home an hour and a half later, almost. I started looking through my WhatsApp groups, Instagram, Facebook, and I heard there was some kind of explosion. Windows were flying. People were scared, injured, and screams everywhere. And I started looking at videos and pictures. And then I opened the news and I saw this huge explosion going on. And I got pictures from an individual who lives next to my apartment with a small message that says, God loves his children. He protected you because if you were here, you would have died.
Mm. So give us an idea of where your apartment is located.
My apartment is around a kilometer and a half away from where the explosion happened.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the areas that were greatly destroyed because of the blast. It's called Ashrafiye, and then right next to it were Jumaizi and Marim Khair, which if you would watch the news, these are the two streets that you would see the most pictures from. Those were the two streets that had the most businesses that were impacted by the blast.
So just to let people understand that, a kilometer is less than a mile. So your apartment was right in the blast zone.
Yes. I'm sorry, we use the metric system.
No, that's fine.
In my head.
No, that's fine. I just want to make sure that our listeners understand that that is really close. That is very close to where you live.
It is very close. It's the closest area. So when you, once you leave the explosion site, you go on that road, and that's the area where I live.
Okay. So you're at your home in Zagle, and you're hearing these reports, and you're seeing the news. What is your initial response to that?
Actually, I was sitting with a friend when we were looking through our pages, and we were surprised. And the first thing we did when we heard the news was we heard that they needed blood. And so we got in our car and we rushed to the blood bank in Zahle, mm-hmm. because we couldn't go down to Beirut at that moment.
Sure.
And I actually went without any of my papers. So I didn't have my identification cards or anything. So we signed up. And then we told them, wait for us 10 minutes. We're just going to get the papers and come back. So we got the papers. We came back. And then instantly, I think it was only 5 minutes since the blast happened. The blast happened at around 6:04. And at 6:15 on that Tuesday, I think almost half of Zahle's population, the city I live in, was standing outside the blood bank, donating blood for injured victims in Beirut.
Wow, that's amazing. That is so amazing that they just jumped to help their countrymen. I love that. That's the spirit of the people there. So tell us a little bit then about what Together for the Families is doing to support the people in Beirut right now.
Together for the Family is working on three aspects in supporting the people who were affected on Ground Zero by the blast. The first one is that we are helping in renovating homes of people who were affected. But we're only renovating things for security reasons, such mm-hmm. as doors, locks, windows, just so the houses are habitable again, so mm-hmm. they can live there safely without feeling any fear from the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second area of our work is that we are aiming to help churches rebuild their church buildings, as well helping them in doors, windows, and some equipment they have lost that is major equipment for them to continue their Sunday services.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part we're working in is providing food and medical aid for the families who've been affected by the blast. So we are working on three different areas mm-hmm. that have affected residents of Beirut greatly during the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So I saw that you went into Beirut a few days after the blast happened. And what was your team like that you took in there? Where did those people come from?
We have a very diverse team working with Together for the Family in Zahle, which I think you have met most of us
yes.
during your visit. We have individuals who are Syrian refugees. We have individuals who are residing in Lebanon but are not of Lebanese nationality. And we have Lebanese individuals working with us as well. The day we announced that we are going down to Beirut, everyone wanted to be part of that team.
Mm.
And everyone wanted to go down and help out in any way possible. So we actually created two teams that went to different areas in Beirut. The first team went only 2 or 3 days after the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the main roads where the explosion happened. We helped clean up glass. We distributed some food baskets for the families who refused to leave their homes mm-hmm. or their shop because they were scared that they were going to get robbed and didn't mm-hmm. want to leave. So we helped them out with a few things, distributed water for the workers. And then a couple days later, another group went down, which consisted mostly of Syrian refugees who had a great desire to go down and help Lebanese individuals because they felt like they were welcomed in this country when they needed it. And they feel like they want to give back the people who welcomed them.
That's great. So in these baskets that you're taking the people, how much food is in that? That is it for just to get them by for a short time, or is it a substantial amount of food that they can use? I know the grocery stores and everything that's down around those areas were completely destroyed, so they're not getting supplies in to help the people actually buy food. But then because of the economy of Lebanon right now, it was already in such a dire strait. This blast has destroyed a lot of the infrastructure, even in the port, so that supplies can't even get in. And I know that you were saying earlier in our conversation that the supply of grain that was stored at the port was completely destroyed. How are you getting this food, and what is the amount that you're giving to these people?
It is actually very hard for us to get the food, but we have managed with a certain supermarket supplier for him to get us the food that we are distributing. And we have been working with him since the explosion happened. Even before that, when we used to give out food baskets for Syrian refugees who were in need of them. Mm-hmm. So our baskets consist of anything essential that would be needed by the family. They consist of hygiene products, soaps, towels, tissues, things related to that. And then they also consist of oil, flour, rice, beans, cheese, and some processed cans that may be eaten. Mm-hmm. The amount would depend on the family. We hope to give one box to each family, but if we have a very big family that comes by or we come across, we would give them two boxes. Mm-hmm. The box would last around 2 weeks. Some products in it would last to a month. Mm-hmm. So the amount of rice in the box would last a month if you do not cook rice every day.
Right.
If you cook rice maybe 3 times a week.
Okay.
So it depends on the family's usage. But products like that, that come in big batches, we aim to leave more of them in the box. But things like cheese and processed meats and stuff like that might end in a week or two.
And how are they storing this stuff? Like cheeses and meats and things like that have to be refrigerated. Has the power been restored in those areas?
We do not include anything that needs to be refrigerated. That's okay. Why we have processed cheeses and okay. Processed meats that are already canned. Mm-hmm. We were already suffering from an electricity crisis in Lebanon, even before the blast. And with the blast, a lot of the infrastructure was gone. A lot of places do not have electricity to store food in the fridge.
Okay.
So most of our items are items that do not need refrigerating.
So you're taking these boxes of food, packing them in Zakle, and then taking them over to Beirut and distributing them that way? How is that working?
Yes, our team boxes the food here in Zahle. It is easier for us to find the items here because we are based in Zahle, so it's easier for us to do it that way. Mm-hmm.
Friends, before we jump back to today's interview, I just want to remind you that Compassion Radio is a communications ministry, and it depends on the faithful support of you to keep bringing inspiring stories to the air each day. Our vision partners support us monthly with gifts large and small and make it possible for us to take you to the very front lines of faith. Whether you join our vision team or make a one-time gift, thank you for believing in and standing by this ministry. We're here to bring you real good news in every situation. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478 to make your gift. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, or visit our website, CompassionRadio.com. Thank you, friends, for everything you've done and what you'll do today. We love you. And now, back to the interview.
So you're taking these boxes of food, packing them in Zakle, and then taking them over to Beirut and distributing them that way? How is that working?
Yes, our team boxes the food here in Zahle. It is easier for us to find the items here because we are based in Zahle, so it's easier for us to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. So this is an expensive venture. This is something that requires a lot of capital for you to do this. How are you able to raise this support?
Actually, we depend on donors' generosity. We depend on sister churches, NGOs, organizations like 1 Million Thumbprints mm-hmm. to help us out financially, to mm-hmm. support us by prayer and to support our work. We hope that whenever those individuals who have us in mind and who have our country in mind, whenever they break bread with their families, mm-hmm. they remember that there are families across the ocean
who can no longer pay for a loaf of bread, mm-hmm. whose bakeries can no longer make bread because mm-hmm. they don't have enough grain supply to do that. We mm-hmm. just hope that people remember us in their prayer. Most of our support is from our Lord.
Belinda, I'm going to ask you to jump in here now with this support raising thing. We've been talking about how Together for the Families is distributing food to people who are in need, who are unable to shop at grocery stores, who are unable to even buy bread because it's so expensive. Talk to us about how 1 Million Thumbprints got involved. I know you've been involved with this organization for a lot of years, but what in your heart clicked with this project that Together for the Families is embarking on right now?
I was thinking about this morning before we jumped on the call, that you and I, our feet have actually walked in the port in Beirut, right? So the last time you and I were in Beirut together, we took our team that had spent a week with Together for the Families meeting the moms and the children who are Syrian refugees that Trevina's talking about. We spent a couple of days in Beirut mm-hmm. afterwards, and right where the explosion happened is right where we were standing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if I remember properly, it was your greatest desire to put your feet in the ocean there.
It was. My greatest desire, but it was very high on the list for sure.
Yes, it was. I remember that with a great deal of joy because it came at the end of what was a tough week, was a lot of reality for us as women, realizing what was already a really hard life for women in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Whether they were Syrian refugees or Lebanese women supporting the church, supporting the good work that Lebanese and Syrians were doing together with the family of believers. Mm-hmm. So Trevina, who I have known since she was 15, and just want to throw that out there because I think I must qualify as Auntie out there somewhere, right, Trevina?
Yes, sure.
Definitely. I met and fell literally deeply in love with Trevina's mother, Izdahar, mm-hmm. who you mentioned earlier. Yeah. Izdahar and I quickly became soulmates because Izdahar has three qualities that any partner that 1 Million Thumbprints takes on has. Mm. She is a female executive director of her own organization that is allied with faith in Christ, but also opens her doors to help anyone and all people who God has created. Mm. That generosity of heart, that deep focus on mission attracted me to Izdahar immediately. Mm-hmm. And as a woman executive director in Lebanon, in Syria, in that region of the world, it's unusual.
Right.
And she is a good leader, as well as her director of operations, which is Trevina. So we have a mother-daughter, as well as Izdahar's sister, who also has her own organization. They are doing really very strategic work with a demographic that's hard to reach.
Right.
The second thing I know about Izdahar is if there is a job to do, she will do it. If she doesn't have the funds, she will do it on faith. Mm-hmm. She will call things out by prayer that are genuine miracles. And that is the kind of partner I want to partner with. Right. And you know that about her. You saw her do it.
I've seen her in action.
And the final thing I know about Izdahar and about Trevina together is that they do things excellently. Mm. So what Trevina hasn't said is that as she's studied, she is studying nutrition and basic health intersections for nutrition. Mm-hmm. She is navigating at an expert level with a degree from the Lebanese American University, healthcare and nutrition. Mm-hmm. She is the exact right person to be navigating this moment, the deepest felt need of those at ground zero in Beirut right now is food.
Right.
And Sandy, you and I both know the burden of food lands squarely on the shoulders of women across the world. Mm-hmm. So any of your listeners right now that are moms, any of your listeners that are grandmas right now, you know that feeding your family is something you wake up thinking about. It's something you go to bed thinking about. And for some of us, we think about it as, oh, I wonder if so-and-so wants this for dinner tomorrow night. That feels like a luxury mm-hmm. for the women and for the caregivers in Beirut right now. Their thought when they go to bed tonight is, how do I break bread with my family tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Partnering for years with Together for the Families as genuine partners. We support them with mentoring as mm-hmm. well as mm-hmm. they support us with cultural and growth mindset mentoring. So mm-hmm. we understand what their needs are. They understand what our needs are. We meet each other at the same table. Mm-hmm. The table that they're sitting at right now, Sandy, is a rough one, right? The 80%, the lira or the money exchange there has decreased 80%. So if we translate that into the bread that Trevina just talked about, what cost a family less than $2 before the explosion, because the government was subsidizing access to bread and milk and cheese and beans, mm-hmm. now costs them between $6 and $7. A gallon of milk is over $10. Mm-hmm. And it is because there is no work and because there is such dire food security issues because of the port, there are people going to bed hungry in Beirut, which is a world-class city yes. right now. Yeah. And we want to help them.
So I just want us to really focus on what that looks like for a family. We go to a grocery store here in America, and we have innumerable choices for a loaf of bread. It can be overwhelming to decide which kind of bread you want. And we get a little bothered when we see expensive bread that is $3, $4 a loaf. We have also multiple choices of milk, even. What kind of milk do you want to buy? I know that in Beirut especially, but in Lebanon right now, you have one bread and milk, period. There is no real choices. You just hope that there's some there when you go. And that you have the money to purchase it. So thinking about a very basic loaf of bread between $6 and $7, that is a very overwhelming prospect for someone trying to feed their family. The fact that their currency is so devalued right now makes it even harder. They're not working because their places of employment, especially in the blast zone, are completely destroyed. So that's something that's hard for us to get hold of and wrap our minds around here in America, because we think even if there is a devastation that happens, like we know there are hurricanes that are barreling toward our Gulf Coast right now, and those people are in grave danger of being flooded and their houses being destroyed. But for the most part, their livelihoods will remain intact and there will be government support to help them. Not so in Lebanon right now. They have experienced a huge devastation in a country that is already at such a brink of despair and loss that it's going to take years to recover. That's why we at Compassion Radio are so grateful and so supportive of people like Trevina and Istihar with Together for the Families that are already on the ground in Lebanon, already doing an amazing work and a good work from their hearts to support people and to encourage people and to give people resources to better themselves. We are thrilled to be a part of that. We are thrilled to encourage and support them. And that's another reason that we want to bring to light the things that are happening there.
This wonderful conversation will continue on tomorrow's program. And we'll let you know how you can be involved with this essential project of relief and gospel outreach then. So make sure to join us for that broadcast.
Which takes the home. with love.
There is so much to be thankful for, even in hard times. Right now, I'm very thankful for you. Your gift of time each day is a genuine treasure to us. Knowing that you're being challenged to live out your faith like never before is a wonderful encouragement to us as well. I hope you'll take time today to drop us a note through our website or by email. You can reach me directly at the following address, bramfloria@compassionradio.com. However you reach out, know that we're in this ministry and this work for you and because of you. Just call or write us today to help keep us on the air and in the field. Call 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And jump in anytime at CompassionRadio.com. We're waiting for you, friends. Hop on board.